How are we all doing this morning? We're carrying on with our series of Kingdom DNA, sort of like the heart values, the culture, the core of who we are. What should really sort of be, what when people look at the Lighthouse Church, you think, you know, that's a people that do these sorts of things. It's part of their character. It's part of who they are. So we've talked about being a people that are together. Real family, really looking after each other, outward looking. We've talked about praise and worship as well. We need to be a people that, you know, always given our everything to God at every moment. Who enjoyed Pastor Stewart's message last week on prayer? Yeah, it was really good. I hope you've, you know, been able to put that into practice and starting to, you know, punctuate your day with prayer and just realizing you can just be aware of God and talk to him at any moment. So as I was thinking, what else is it that we as Christians, we as a church, should have as part of our DNA? And this actually came to me when I was teaching my year sevens at school some biology this week. Because I was thinking, okay, kingdom DNA, something biological. And I was teaching them that all living creatures, no matter whether you're a human or a flamingo or a bacteria, whatever it is, if you're alive, you have to do seven things in order to be considered alive. If just one of them's missing, you're not considered to be living. And they come up with the acronym Mrs. Gren. And each one of them, yeah, I can see some of you remembering it. So each one of these, you need to do all seven to be classified as a living thing. So Mrs. Gren, there's M for movement, R for respiration, sensitivity, growth, reproduction, excretion, nutrition. You have to do all seven of those things to be considered alive. And I thought, okay, the number one is movement. If you're alive, you've got to have some movement in you. If you're living, you're not just static. Even if it's on a tiny, tiny scale, you are living if you move. Living things move. Dead things don't move, thank goodness. But if you're alive this morning, you're moving. Even right now, as you're sitting still, you know, you're moving, you're breathing, you're looking around, you might be taking notes, stuff going on inside of you, your blood is pumping through your heart, your lungs are breathing in and out, you may be digesting your breakfast, you're moving in all kinds of different ways if you are alive. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, some kingdom DNA. The next thing that should define us is that we need to move as a church and we need to advance. You might have heard it's one of the Equipa's heart values. We are advancing individually and corporately together as a church. Because far too often we can go through what people have called the horror of the same old thing, where we wake up every morning and, yeah, we're moving, but we're just like stuck in these well-worn tracks. We don't really go off the beaten path. It's just the same thing, day in, day out. And yes, there's movement, but there's no movement towards something new. There's no movement forward. So I want to encourage us this morning, church. We need to be a church that advances, that doesn't just move, but moves forward, moves into the new constantly. Because I'm sure there have been times in all of our lives, I know certainly in mine as well, where you're just thinking, is this it? There must be more to life than this. There must be something more, something new that I haven't discovered yet. And I think in order to get there, we need to advance. There's always more. We need to be content with where we are, yeah, but not satisfied. We need to be content with where we're at, but not satisfied, not thinking, all right, this is it, I'm done, I can rest here. No, there's always something more. We need to advance. And what I want to say to you guys this morning is, it's your move. It's your move. Why should we advance? Why should we move? Well, in Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 24, Paul's talking to this church. And they were a church that, you know, they weren't a Jewish church. They weren't familiar with the Old Testament at first. And Paul came along and they started a church in someone's home. And it had grown into this incredible congregation of people. But there were still some people who were sort of like stuck in the old way of living, almost like living two lives, as it were. Half the time, you know, they were going all out for Jesus. They had this new identity. But the other half of the time, they were still stuck in like old habits, old ways of thinking, old ways of living. And this is what Paul has to say in Ephesians 4:22. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off the old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what Paul's saying. In other words, what's gone before is done. There's something new. Paul doesn't just say, you know, walk like a new person, talk like a new person. He's actually saying, you know, as if it was, you know, your old life with some old clothing. You know, take it off and put on the new. Get rid of what's old and put on the new. Why would you want to stay in an old life that's been hurting you, that's been hurting others? We've experienced heartache and pain and sickness and brokenness and sin and all kinds of horrible things. Why would you stay in that place when the new has already come? It's right here. Come on. Get rid of the old and put on the new. We've always got to advance into the new things that God is doing. And we're designed for this sort of thing. Paul doesn't say, you know, put off, you know, this old manner of speech and start talking like this. He frames it as, you know, put off your old self and put on your new entire identity. We were designed for this. Just like a ship is designed to advance, to head out to sea, we were designed to advance in everything that God has for us. I once heard someone say that, you know, a ship in the harbor is safe. But that's not what ships are for. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are for. It's far too easy to get comfortable, to stay still, to be content with where you're at. But God's saying, no, come on. There is so much more. Henry Ford put it this way. Anyone who stops learning is old, whether at 20 or 80. Anyone who keeps learning stays young. Anyone who stops is old, whether that's at 20 or 80, but you keep going, you keep advancing, you keep learning, you stay young. We got to advance as a church into the new things that God is doing. God talks about this time and time again throughout the Bible. In Isaiah 43:19, he says, see, I'm doing not an old thing, not the same thing, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Not yesterday, not maybe tomorrow, now the new thing springs up. Do you not perceive it? Come on, can't you see it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Those desolate places where you haven't found life before, I'm making a new way for you in that. Advance into the new, church. There's always, always more. To put it bluntly, you know, something is either growing or it's dying. One of the seven living things, Mrs. Gren, is growth. If you're alive, you're growing. If you're not growing, it's dying. And if something's standing still, it's just dying slowly. We've always got to be moving forward. And you think, okay, but what are we moving forward to? Well, I think there are two ways that we can advance. We can advance personally, and we can advance together. When we advance personally, we're putting off the old self, like Paul says, and we're putting on the new. And we all do this every day without even realizing it, in small ways and in big ways. We're always moving towards something, even if it's as simple as, I really like that new car. I'm going to advance towards that somehow. That's you set goals in your mind without even realizing it. We're always advancing towards something. What is it you're advancing towards in your own life? Think of it like exercise. Exercise is painful at first. But growth is natural after the fact. You know, when we advance, there's this tension between who we used to be and who we could be. And we're stuck right in the middle of who we are now. When you exercise, when you go to the gym and you're lifting weights, which I really need to get back into doing. But when you are at the gym, when you're lifting weights, you're actually, again, some biology for you, on a microscopic scale, you're actually tearing apart the muscle fibers of wherever it is you're exercising. It's painful. Advancing, stretching, exercising, moving forward. There's something about taking apart the old. But then what happens as you chug the protein shakes, as you get 8-9 hours sleep? You wake up one morning and think, wow, I'm looking good. It's painful to advance, but growth is natural afterwards. That, and growth is silent as well. There's a reason why in the Bible it's called the fruits of the Spirit. The things that God's asking us to advance into, people full of love, people full of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. I think I got them all there. Those things we advance in, they're called the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because you can't just stand under an apple tree and shout at it to grow. It takes its time. And growth is slow and silent, but it's natural. The moment you put a seed in the ground, even if it's been, you know, sitting in a packet for 50 years, you put a seed in the ground, you watch it grow. It's natural. It's normal. It's slow at first. It's painful at first. You might feel like you've been buried at first, but that's just because you've been planted. Where are you stretching? Where are you advancing in your personal life? For me, I'm quite a logistical, ordered admin kind of person. I like writing things out. I like having my goals and my to-do lists and everything. I'm stretching. I was stretched this morning. Every time I go to church, every time I go to a prayer meeting or something like that, I'm not the loudest of people, naturally. But here I am, on the front row, responding to what's going on there. And I'm forcing myself to lift my hands. I'm forcing myself to do shouts of praise, to sing a little louder. That's painful for me. Maybe I'm slightly more introverted. Maybe I'm not, you know, the life and soul of the party the whole time. It is painful for me sometimes to shout, to sing a little louder, to jump about, to dance. But why am I doing this? I'm advancing forward. I'm stretching myself out. I'm thinking, God is worthy of my praise, no matter what my natural default is. So I'm going to give him that praise that he deserves. I'm not, like, I love what Mirella said earlier. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. I'm going to stretch all out for God. I'm stretching waking up on time. Rachel can say, I'm not a morning person. The amount of times when, you know, Rachel's a morning person, I'm more of an evening person. The amount of times where we've had a day where Rachel's just, you know, sprung out of bed, gotten ready to start the day, and then just sort of like saying, come on, come on. She plays the song Wake Up by Tim Hughes to try and force me to get up. But then later on in the evening, when we've had a full-on busy day and we're sort of like getting back after the 5 p.m. service and I want to discuss this and that, it's like, oh, what's going on here? You know, what did you think of this? And that sort of thing. Rachel says, I just want to go to bed. It's a stretch for me, but I'm determined to wake up early and to start the day with God. That's one of my stretches. Another stretch is fasting. Jesus said in Matthew, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. Not if, but when. I had a revelation that, you know, I need to start fasting a little bit more on a regular basis. I really like my food. But why am I doing this? I'm stretching out. I'm advancing. I know there's more. I know that it's painful at first. But I'm thinking, God, you've asked me to do this. You've asked me to not stay where I'm at, but to go forward into what you have for me. And if fasting's a part of it, if waking up on time is a part of it, if shouting your praise is a little bit louder than part of it, I'm all in. I'm doing that. You know, I'd love to see how the, you know, the worship team, the band and the production guys have been stretching out recently. We moved into Seaforth Avenue, and it's great. Every Wednesday night we get live music as these guys are practicing. It's fantastic. But we can hear and think, wow, I could never sing like that, but I hear all of these amazing things they're doing, the new songs they're bringing to this place. They're honing their craft week in, week out. They didn't just turn up here this morning and just sort of like play it by ear. No, they've been practicing and practicing and practicing. Why? Because they know that there's a sound that's going to be coming out of this place. There's a sound of praise and worship and thanksgiving and revival. And they're like, we can't do that half-heartedly. We're advancing, we're stretching out, we're bringing our gifts to the table, and we are training, we are honing our craft. What's God asked you to do this morning? How does God want you to advance? So we can advance personally, but we can also advance together. Like we've been saying for the past few months, we're a church in transition. We're a church that's joining a wider Equippers family, a new movement. It's not just a change of brand, a change of name, but it's a new anointing. It's a new season. It's a new movement that God has called us to. So what does that involve? It involves us together as a church, stretching out. Like we're saying, you're going to meet new people who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, who are a little bit different. But why can't we stretch out and make our circle wider? Why can't we advance into all different areas around? When we're joining this new movement, we're not saying, okay, we're in New Malden. New Malden's enough for us. No, our circle's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We're drawing new people in, new people in. We're advancing together. And the great thing is, when you advance together, again, I'll go back to the exercise example. If you're, you know, bench pressing, you're lying there, you usually have someone behind you, don't you? You have a spotter. You have someone there who's ready to take the slack if it gets a little bit too much. We all need spiritual spotters in our lives. We all need spiritual spotters who can cheer us on, who can advance with us, who say, I'm right behind you, I'm right beside you, I've got your back, I can take the weight when it gets too much. We are advancing together, together, supporting each other. Now, part of our journey, mine and Rachel's journey in stretching and advancing together as part of the Lighthouse Church has been moving to New Malden. We had a lovely little flat in Staines, and a couple of weeks ago, we packed up all of our stuff and we've moved over to 27 Seaforth Avenue. It was a stretch for us, not just in the sense of, you know, moving boxes and things like that, but it was a stretch. We'd been in Staines for 2 years. We loved our little flat, but now we're here. Some parts of it have been wonderful. Some parts of it have been a little bit of a stretch. Change is always a stretch. But why? It's because we believe in this church. It's because we believe that God is doing something incredible and we are advancing with it. We're not staying where we're at, but we are advancing with what God is doing. There's a movement happening, church. There's a movement happening in New Malden. Are you on board? Are you on board with it? Are you ready to advance? And the good news is that when we're advancing, like I said, it is painful at first. It is difficult. There is a stretch involved. But whose strength are we lifting those weights with? Those spiritual weights, that spiritual advancement, whose strength are we lifting it with? It's not ours at the end of the day. It's God's. He's the one that does all the hard work. And that's why I love the idea of grace. Because grace, we sometimes treat grace as, you know, of forgiveness, and then we leave it there. But grace is so much bigger than that. Grace not only covers the past, but it empowers the present. Grace is not just God's forgiveness for you, although it is, and we thank and love God for that. But it's a transformational power that's available right here, right now, for you, for us, for everyone. Grace covers the past as you put off the new self. But it also empowers the present to transform the future as you are putting on the new self. So take hold of that grace and let's get on the move. Come on. Come on, church. It's your move. It's our move. Are you ready for it? And I think there are three ingredients to a successful movement, a successful advance forward into the new. And I think the first one is you've got to advance away from the old self. Advance away from the old. Now, every single movement in history, every single protest, every single revolution, everything has been sparked by someone thinking one day, I'm not happy with how things are now. I'm not happy with the status quo. Something needs to change. Something needs to go. Paul said it, you know, like this in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, there's this old way of things that I'm not happy with. But what's Paul's answer to it? It's quite violent language. You don't just put off the old self, you crucify it with Christ. I'm going to give you some bad news and then some good news this morning, church. You can't fix your old self. It is beyond repair. That's not a personal insult. My old self is exactly the same. It is beyond repair. You can't fix it. But here's the good news. You don't have to. Your old self is dead, but your new self is alive and here and ready for you to put on this morning, church. We're moving away from the old. We're advancing away from the old. The Bible says time and time again, come on, church, get rid of the old. Advance away from it. Move away. We've moved from death to life. We've traded ashes for beauty, depression for joy, fear for courage. Come on, church, we're moving away from the old. Whatever's holding you back, whatever baggage you've brought in, you can let it go this morning. And you don't just have to drop it at your feet, pretend it's not there, but then pick it up again as you walk out. No, you can leave it right here at the foot of the cross. And you can say, I'm not dealing with that anymore. I can put it down. Jesus has gotten rid of it. He hasn't just gotten rid of it. It's dead. It's gone. It's done. All you have to do is let it go, church. I'm not going to start singing Frozen, but just let it go, church. Just let it go. It's gone. You really actually can be free of that stuff, whatever that stuff might be for you. Depression, sickness, stress, sin, independence from God, whatever it might be, big or small, you can advance away from it. You really can be free. You know, the Israelites in Egypt, when they were in slavery, you know, you have to imagine, you know, these are the people of God. These are people who have been called by God, chosen by God to do incredible things with destiny over their lives. And yet every day, they've got these slave drivers bearing down upon them. So God delivered them. He said, that old way of life is done. I brought you away from the old. And yet here we are sometimes as Christians in the 21st century living in the new covenant. Christian means little Christ. We've got the name of God. We are living in this new identity. We're called people. We've got this destiny. But sometimes there are still these slave drivers over us, these spiritual slave drivers, these addictions, depression, sickness. I want to encourage you. The God who parted the Red Sea can still deliver today. Advance away. What has God called you to advance away from? Maybe you can think of something straight away and you think, yeah, I'm desperate to get rid of it. That sickness, that hurt, that past. Or maybe it's something that God is asking you to get rid of that maybe you've gotten a little too comfortable with. What is that bad habit? What is that addiction? What is that way of life, that way of speaking? What has God asked you to advance away from this morning, church? I'm telling you, there's powerful transformational grace for you to be able to do that. So you advance away from the old, but that's not enough. Like I was saying, every single movement, every single protest, revolution, people who are unhappy with the status quo, they're saying, we're getting rid of that. We're advancing away from it. But if that's all there was, everything would just fizzle out. You know, dissatisfaction with the past is not enough to sustain you going forward. You can't just advance away from the old. You have to advance to the new. As well as saying no to the past, you've got to say yes to the future. You need a new vision. You need a new way of doing things. It's not enough to say, I don't want this. Okay, well, what do you want instead? You're not happy with this. What would you be happy with? You've left behind that nightmare, but what's the new dream? Are you stuck in the past? Are you stuck in bad habits? Are you stuck in ways of thinking and acting and think, I just cannot break this. I've been suffering from this for years and years. Well, I want to ask you is, you've identified it. You've identified the problem and you're trying to move away. But unless there's something pulling you forward, your eyes are still always going to be on the past. You cannot advance backwards, walking backwards. You're just going to stumble, and it will keep drawing you back. What are you advancing to, church? You know, Jesus said, you know, when you clear out a house, unless you fill it with something new, the old is just going to come back and trash the place all over again. You got to, when you're moving house, you've got to, you know, take out all of your old stuff. But then you've got to find a new place to put it in. When me and Rachel moved out of Staines, we took out all of our old stuff. It was an empty house, but we didn't stay living in the cardboard boxes. We've advanced from the old to the, well, maybe we haven't fully unpacked yet, but we're advancing out of that, and we are slowly unpacking into the new. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, verses 12 and 13. Not that I've already obtained all this. He's saying, you know, I haven't quite gotten there yet. I haven't quite gotten to the finish line. Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I can see it. I'm not there yet, but I can see it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards the goal. Leave the past in the past, but have a vision of the future. We all know that lovely old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Okay, great, but it doesn't stop there. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If you're advancing, you're looking ahead to the new. You've let go of the old, but you're looking ahead towards the new. So, like I said before, what has God asked you to get rid of? But also, what has God asked you to move towards instead? What's God asking you to take on, to push towards? What has God asked you to do? Think about it, church. If you seem to be stuck in a rut, stuck thinking, you know, God, are you even listening? I want to challenge you a little bit. What was the last thing that God asked you to do? And did you do it? I want to encourage you again. Grace doesn't just cover the past, but it empowers the present to transform the future. What are you moving towards? What's your vision? What's your goal? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. What are you adding to your faith, church? You've responded to God, but are you just going through the motions, still looking to the past? What are you adding? What's new? What are you straining towards? Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Build step by step, moment by moment. There's always a next step. There's always something new. Build upon where you're at right now. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they've been cleaned from their past sins. Unless you have a vision for the future, church, Peter says that you're still looking to the past. You don't realize what's been done for you. Out of the overflow of advancing away from the past, move forward to the future. Let that momentum propel you forward. So if you advance away from the old and you advance towards the new, what is that new? You've got to advance the kingdom as well. We've spoken so much about advancing, but like we said, we advance not only personally, but together. You can't do it alone. You need a vision, but you need a vision bigger than yourself. If your vision just stops at your bad habits, at that new thing that you want to head towards, if your vision just stops at, okay, that's my past done, this is where I'm going, me, that's great. But you need something bigger than yourself to keep you going forward. So advance away from the old, advance towards the new, and advance the kingdom. Have a vision bigger than yourself. God does all the hard work at the end of the day. Why are we advancing? Because we're advancing the kingdom of God. God has already built up an eternity's worth of momentum. He's already given us a vision. He's already given us a goal. Climb on board. Don't swim against the current. But swim with the momentum that God is already building. Again, the Bible probably says it a lot harsher than I do. But in Matthew 11, verse 12, in the NLT version, it says, "From the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it." The kingdom has been forcefully advancing. There's a battle. There's a stretch. There's a struggle. There's something about advancing forward that is just, it's not always plain sailing. Not even for the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is still forcefully advancing. There's a power there. There's a grace. There's a vision that propels you forward together as a church. Later on in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, "I tell you, you're Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That verse always confused me for a while. I thought, okay, so the gates of hell, surely that must mean that hell is attacking the church, but we're going to win? Okay, but it still kind of sounds like we're on the back foot. But then I thought about it. No, hang on. If you have an army and you're attacking a city, where's the weakest place in the walls that you go for? You go for the gates. Jesus isn't saying that, you know, the church is right here and, you know, the enemy's right here and, you know, he's right next to us, but, you know, we're going to prevail, don't worry. No, he's saying we're on the front foot. We're advancing against the gates of hell. We're going to smash them down and they will not win. We're advancing, church. We're advancing. And Jesus said, we're going to win. It's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. We're on the winning side. So get on board. It's your move, church. It's our move. Get on board. No retreat. I love it how when we get this revelation of we're a people, individually and together, we're advancing. When we think about heaven, it's no longer just, you know, some airy-fairy place that, you know, one day we get to escape to. But we get to bring heaven to earth right now, everywhere we see hell. Todd White says, you know, the end of the world, the rapture, whatever you want to call it, it's not God's escape plan. It's the pickup for a wedding day. And in the meantime, we get to bring heaven to earth. We get to prepare. We get to get ready. Come on, church. We're advancing. We're moving forward, away from the old, towards the new, and together to advance the kingdom of God. What greater cause could there be? You see throughout history, and even today, so many protests, so many revolutions, so many often quite rightfully angry people saying, I'm not happy with what's going on. If they can do it, why can't we, church? Why can't we, who have the greatest cause in the universe, throughout eternity, come together as a people and saying, we're not standing for injustice. We're not standing for sickness. We're not standing for people who are stuck in depression. We're not standing for people who can't afford to feed their children. We're not standing for that. We are advancing against the enemy and we win. Come on, church, it's your move. Are you advancing? Are you advancing forward? Are you getting on board with something that's bigger than yourself? Advance with the current of the kingdom and against the current of the world. Just as we come to a close, I want to go back to Mrs. Gren. The seven things that all living things do. Movement. We've spoken about movement. You've got to move if you're alive. You've got to move away from the old and you've got to move towards the new. Are you alive this morning, church? Are you moving? Second one is respiration. For those of you who've forgotten your GCSE biology, respiration is all about releasing energy. You can have a movement, but where's your energy, church? Is your movement just slow and sluggish? Or is there a bit of passion? Is there a bit of energy? Is there something inside of you that's releasing a new energy? S is for sensing. Are you sensing what God is doing? Are you sensing that spiritual dimension, church? Are you sensing around you that God is surrounding you? Even when everything else seems to be surrounding, the storm and the wind and the waves, are you sensing that God is around you? The G is for growth. Are you not just moving forward, but are you also growing? Instead of comparing yourself to other people, are you comparing yourself to yourself yesterday? Where are you at today where you were further along than yesterday? How are you doing beating that bad habit and addiction? How are you doing getting out of bed first thing in the morning? How are you doing that's better today than it was yesterday? The R's for reproduction. Is your advancement just focused on yourself and it stops there? Or are you bringing in other people? Are you leaving a legacy, church? Are you training others with what you've learned and the breakthroughs you had and the battles you've won? Are you sharing that with everyone? The great thing about spiritual battles that we win is that when we win them, that gets transferred to other people. The battles we win today mean that the next generation doesn't have to fight them. Come on, can our ceilings be the next generation's floors? Can we reproduce what God is doing in us right now so that the battles we win, the battles that we're victorious in, is just plain sailing for the next people? The E is for excretion. Are we getting rid of the waste? Are we getting rid of the bad? Can we identify? Can we be honest? Can we even be honest with other people, if that's what it takes, about what's going on in here that isn't quite right? The stuff we need to let go of. Someone says in Hebrews, come on, let's throw off every weight and the sin that so easily entangles. Just throw it off, church. Get rid of the old and put on the new. And the N is for nutrition. What are we feeding ourselves? What are we allowing to come into our vision? What are we allowing to come into our hearts? What are we feeding ourselves on? Is it just Netflix at the end of the day? Or are we delving deep into the Word of God individually and together? Are we feeding ourselves on what God has for us instead? I want to encourage you, church. It is a stretch. Advancing is difficult. It is painful at first. But sometimes all it takes is one step forward, and the momentum starts from there. Maybe it took all of your effort to come to church this morning, and I want to say, come on, that's one step forward. That doesn't go unnoticed. God honors that. Take a small step. I heard someone say it as no more 0 days. Have no more days where you haven't taken a single step forward. If you just take one step today, if that's all you have the strength to do, that's fine. But just keep moving, church. Don't stay still. Don't move back. Keep moving forward. If you have a goal of doing 100 press-ups in one go, but you just get to the end of the day and you have no energy left, just do one. No more 0 days, church. No more 0 steps. No more staying still. Just one step. If that's all you can do, then do it. It doesn't go unnoticed. And it'll get to the point where you're advancing so much that you'll advance without even realizing it. You'll advance in your rest. You'll get to the point where you're just sitting down and you're just resting at the end of a long day, and your thoughts will just wander to God and you'll rest in Him. Peter said in Acts, he was quoting from Joel, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. You'll get to the point where you're advancing in your sleep, church, where God's visiting you and putting in prophetic dreams into your life. Come on. Advance, get on board, and see what God can do. Gain ground. When an army takes new territory, when it takes over a town or a city or whatever, what do? They plant a flag that represents something bigger than themselves, and they say, this is ours now. The enemy had it, but it's ours now. Every single step you take, just like Caleb said, once you take that step, once you gain that ground, it belongs to you. You do not have to wander back. You do not have to wander back to the past. But every step you take is gaining ground, and it belongs to you. The victory can be yours. It's your move. Are you going to take it? You know, we're standing here today in this church because people advanced in the past to leave a legacy. I've been talking to Bob and a few of the others, and I didn't realize just how much of a legacy this place has. This church, the original building was in 1925 when it was built, something like that, and the church has been going on, started off as a Sunday school. You know, there's decades of legacy here. We're standing here today because people in the past advanced. What legacy are we leaving, church? How can we get on board? How can we not just be thankful for the past momentum, the past legacy, but how can we add to it? How can we add to our inheritance? What's the next step? What's the next move? Now, there's this old Greek proverb that says, a society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they will never sit in. What legacy are you leaving? Advance for yourself, but advance for the kingdom as well. We are just the next link in the chain of generation after generation after generation of godly men and women and children who said, I'm not standing for injustice. I'm not standing for the evil. I'm taking a step forward. And here we are, hundreds and thousands of years later, God's people here today. Can we take the next step? And who knows? The next step might be taking the world. Taking the world by storm, advancing forward. Your one little step today could result in you and other people taking 100 tomorrow. Have an eternal perspective, church. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't plan on retiring. You know, when I get older, things might slow down a little bit. That's just how physical things work. But spiritually, I don't plan on retiring. Like I said, I'm a very sort of like logical, admin-oriented person. I like my books. The first thing I unpacked when we got to Seaforth Avenue was all my books, sort of like lining them up neatly in alphabetical order in my bookcase. I like things like that. I like things to be ordered. I like my books. I like it to be nice and cozy. I like my little space, my little man cave. But I can't let that stop me from taking a step forward. I'm not saying don't rest, don't enjoy what you have. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying be content with where you are, but not satisfied. I don't plan on retiring with my cozy little books, but I've had prophetic words over my life that even into my 90s, I'm going to be traveling around, spreading the gospel, ministering to people, advancing the kingdom. Where are you advancing, church? You know, jump on the front line. This is a battle. But I think it was C.S. Lewis, possibly someone else. I'll look it up later. But someone said, when I die, I want to have lived such a life, advancing moment by moment as a soldier of God, that when I die, the enemy gasps in relief, saying, finally, he's out of the fight. Come on, church. Advance from the past. Advance to the new. And advance the kingdom of God. There will be generations because of us. Do you believe that? Because of this church, because of the steps you take, there will be generations because of you. And all it takes some days is one step forward. One step forward sometimes. But today, just take that one step if that's all it takes. If you can take 10, fine, go for it. We're cheering you on. But if it's just the one step in breaking the addiction, in breaking the bad habits, in standing up against evil and against injustice, in stepping forward and advancing the kingdom, take that step. Big or small, just take that step. When we advance, church, we do it together and we do it under grace. And grace says, come as you are, but don't stay that way. You can bring your brokenheartedness, you can bring your brokenness, you can bring your pain, your anger, your fear, your worry, your addictions, your hurt, your sin. God doesn't flinch at it. Come as you are. He's not expecting you to take the first 100 steps alone. He's saying, come as you are, but don't stay that way. Grace covers the past, but it also empowers the present to change the future. And just as we come to a close, I want to help some people in here maybe take that first step forward. So if we could bow our heads and close our eyes. The most important step, the very first step in advancing forward, is the step of saying yes to Jesus. And maybe there's some people in here and you've never actually taken that step. You've never actually taken the plunge. You've never taken that step of saying yes to Jesus and making him the Lord of your life. Or maybe you took that step a long time ago, but somehow you feel like you haven't really advanced in that, and you know you haven't been walking with Jesus, and you want to take that step again, and you want to move forward. I'm telling you, for both of those groups of people, you can take that step this morning, and you never have to look back. We believe in a God who loved us so much, who came to earth, saw where we were at, and didn't want us to stay that way. But he came as Jesus. He lived the perfect life we couldn't, and he died on a cross, which he didn't deserve. And he took all of our sin and all of our independence, and he took it upon himself so that we don't have to. And he rose from the dead to prove it. So if you want to take that step of giving your life to Jesus for the first time or as a way of a recommitment, we're going to pray this prayer together, one line after the other. So pray together with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died on a cross to pay for my sin and my old way of living. And thank you that he rose again to give me new life. Today I receive your love and your forgiveness. And today I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Help me take the step, advancing forward with you, and never looking back. Amen. Come on.